That's relatable, yeah. Kid. That's what I do.
Do you like the ASMR
stuff?
Oh,
I shouldn't have done that. Oh, no.
Oh, no. What'd you do?
So... shit.
What'd you do?
My back has been hurting, so before I came down here knowing that I was going to have to sit here for a while, I rubbed capsaicin cream all over my lower back.
Oh, no.
And now it's in my eye.
You touched your eye. Oh,
I washed
no.
my hands, but apparently 20 seconds was not long enough.
Oh, no. Are you okay?
I'm going to have a pepper eyeball now.
Oh, no.
Capsaicin eyes.
Oh.
It's fine.
Capsaicin eyes is the name of my next band.
It's like Billie Eilish's Ocean Eyes, except it's about my eyeball being spicy now.
There was a song I thought of. It was like, I can't remember the name, but the actual name of the song, the name of the actual song, but I was like, capsaicin eyes, but I don't remember the actual name of the song. I don't know. It's fine. We'll move on.
Were you doing Our Love is God?
No. No, it's like an actual like pop song.
Oh.
Behind capsaicin eyes.
Gross.
That's a different song.
So anyway, 17. Hello and welcome to It's the Greatest Show, Man, the podcast where we talk about the musicals you love and why they're great and why they suck. I'm your host, Emily Chavone, and with me as always is my co-host, Brantley Wheeler.
Hello.
Hi.
Oh, man. We are just now getting into spooky season, and I'm ready for it. I'm here for it.
Happy spooky season. I do want to say it's October 4th when we're recording. When this episode is released, I believe it will be musical reveal week at our school.
Ooh.
Oh, not quite.
Oh, week before?
Wait, no, it will be. Right? Because we don't have one coming out this Monday. It will be musical reveal week. And if you're my student and you're listening, there are absolutely going to be hints in this episode. 1,000%. So everything's a hint. Happy reveal week.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun.
I am very excited for reveal week.
Oh, yeah?
Everything's a clue.
Well, you know, anything goes this week.
So many hints.
I mean, just to kind of get the ball rolling here, what are some of your favorite things about this season, about the fall, like on all that stuff? Like, when you think of fall, what do you think of?
I think, yay, I survived another summer and nature will stop trying to kill me for a while. I do feel like I've mostly acclimated to like the heat and humidity. I mean, I went to college in South Carolina and then I moved here. So when it's 90 degrees and humid outside, sometimes I don't even really notice it.
That's fair.
I wear a lot of long sleeves just at school. And when we're inside and air conditioning, it doesn't matter. And then I'll like walk out to my car and be like, oh, yeah, I guess it's kind of warm out here. And then I get in my car and the car thermometer reads 100 degrees. I'm like, oh, yeah, guess it is kind of warm out here.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like my parents' house did not have air conditioning when I was a kid because there's like 1 week a year it gets hot.
Right. Yeah.
So you don't really need it.
Yeah. It was similar to that growing up in Michigan because like there was definitely like the hottest it really ever got was like maybe 80 in the summer. And it was always super nice. So I loved summer because it was never too hot.
Yep.
And then like I would always get bummed because sometimes winter would come a little early and it would snow on Halloween and that sucked. But, you know, I hated that. But the only time we ever canceled school that I can remember living up there was when we had 3 feet of snow, like, overnight.
Yep.
We only ever canceled school if we had a lot of snow. Down here, it's balls hot all the f***ing time. And, like, even in the fall, it's hot. And in Arkansas. And if we get an inch of snow, we have to start talking about rerouting buses or canceling school.
We start talking about the impending apocalypse with an inch of snow.
Yep.
So, yeah, I do prefer cold weather. I mean, again, unironically, I do love pumpkin stuff, and that's when it comes out is in the fall.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like as a theater kid, I should love Halloween more. Like, I'm pretty neutral on Halloween.
Yeah.
just in general, but
yeah,
it's not the worst holiday.
No, I mean, Halloween is definitely my favorite, and I always loved it when I was a kid. I played dress up a lot, so that was like something I just always enjoyed. And I remember always being really bummed anytime I had to wear a costume, a coat over my costume, which didn't happen a lot, but it happened enough times to be annoying.
You got to plan a costume so a coat can fit under the costume.
Yeah, I didn't.
That's what we did.
It was very rare that it would snow on Halloween. It only happened twice my entire childhood.
Well, it wouldn't snow, but it would be really cold.
Yeah. Even then, it was never really an issue. But something that's really fun, I think is really fun that we do now with my family is we do themed costumes. So, like, as a family, we'll all dress up as, like, a similar theme. And I always think that's really fun. When I was a kid, we never did that. We were just kind of like, what do you want to be? I want to be Spider-Man. Okay, cool. Like, one year, I was Spider-Man. My brother was Goliath from Gargoyles. And my sister was the Pink Ranger. So.
That's fun.
Yeah, and then I remember one year my parents were Batman and Catwoman from the 1990 Batman Returns movie.
That's so that was fun.
Yeah, but like now, like as of this year, is like since I've been married, we've done Wizard of Oz, we've done Pokemon as a theme, and a couple other ones. But Wizard of Oz was fun because there was the Tin Man. He was the cutest little Tin Man you ever seen.
Aw.
Yeah. We got a trash can and cut a hole out of his head and two holes for his arms, and that's what he wore. It was very fun. But, you know, something that I absolutely love about fall is just, like, all the decor, like, all the cats that are everywhere. And
oh, you mean, like, all the black cats for Halloween?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And not for our spring musical.
Yeah, like, all the, like, the little shops of horrors and all the stuff that's just around when you can go. Like, Spirit Halloween is so much fun.
You could dress up as something beautiful. You could dress up as a beast.
Yeah, yeah. You could be a bat boy.
Or a spider woman.
Or spider woman. Yeah.
The kids will never know how much joy I get out of this.
It's been fun so far.
Okay, you want to get into this?
Sure, we can get into this.
Okay, so Heather's The Musical is an American musical based on 1988 film. Oh, we should probably start with, we're doing Heather's, right?
Yeah, we are doing Heather's. Yeah, hey. This episode's about, hey, check the description. This episode is about Heather's.
It was in the title, but in case you just saw our logo and it started auto-playing because of your deep love for this podcast. Heather's The Musical is an American musical based on the 1988 film Heather's by Daniel Waters. Music and lyrics were written by Lawrence O'Keefe and Kevin Murphy. It first premiered in L.A. in 2013, then transferred to Off-Broadway in 2014, starring Barrett Wilbert-Weed as Veronica and Ryan McCartan as J.D. The London premiere was in June of 2018 at the Other Palace, starring Carrie Hope Fletcher as Veronica and Jamie Muscato as JD, that transferred to the West End September of 2018. And then it closed in 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic, but it returned to the West End in June of 21 and then transferred back to the Other Palace and was filmed in 2022. And that's the recording that's available to watch for free on the Roku channel in the US as of the day of recording, which is October 4th, 2025. And then in June 2025, there's a new New York off-Broadway production, which is essentially a replica of that London production that was filmed. It opened at New World Stages. It stars Lorna Courtney as Veronica and Casey Likes as JD. And boy, was it good. And then just some fun facts about the show's history. There were early workshops of the show in 2009, which starred Kristen Bell as Veronica Sawyer. And the first one also had Christian Campbell as JD. And wouldn't that have been a fun reunion?
Oh, yeah.
The first time it was performed publicly was in September of 2010. There was a concert at Joe's Pub, which had Annalee Ashford as Veronica and Jeremy Jordan as JD. Mm-hmm. And my last fun fact is that Andy Fickman has directed just about everything that's been a professional production of Heather's in the US and the UK. So really one person has had his hands on this production, like the show, as far as what it is. So there is a lot of continuity and like staging and things are very similar in the 15 or so years that this has been a thing.
Sure. You know, so here's a couple other things, like just to kind of add on to what you were saying. If you do want to watch the pro shoot, if you're and you're not in the U.S., it is available on Amazon Prime in the U.K. And something that when I was doing some research for this for Heathers and thought was really fun is that Andy Fickman, who was the director, I think it was him, or maybe it was J. Todd Harris, who was the and Andy Cohen, who were the producers of the show. They hired Lawrence O'Keefe and then paired him with Kevin Murphy, who wrote Reefer Madness. And so, like, it makes sense to me that Kristen Bell and Christian Campbell would be in this because Reefer Madness. So that's just really fun to look at that. It's all coming together. Theater's a small world.
We'll get to it. Oh, but yeah. I have a whole section. Would you like a summary?
I would love a summary. Tell me about this show.
Serious spoilers, by the way. If you've not seen Heather somehow, I am going to spoil all the details. And so maybe like pause this episode, go watch it and come back. Watch any version of it. There's a great pro shoot. We don't condone bootlegs in this family, but there's a great bootleg from 2014. So anyway, September 1st, 1989.
Or just skip this part.
Veronica Sawyer is beginning her senior year at Westerberg High and is already awaiting graduation, exhausted by the shallow behaviors of her classmates. She forges a hall pass and makes friends with the Heathers, Chandler, Duke, and McNamara, three popular girls who wear blazers, miniskirts, and knee socks, and who help Veronica climb the social ladder. She meets and falls for the mysterious JD, who is new to school and very good at fighting jocks. At the homecoming party, the Heathers and the football stars Ram and Kurt create a ploy to humiliate Veronica's overweight friend Martha. When Veronica stands up for Martha, quits the Heathers group, and drunkenly vomits everywhere, Heather Chandler vows to ruin her life. Veronica seeks comfort from JD, who agrees to be her backup when she goes to apologize the next day. She arrives at Heather's house, and Veronica makes a prairie oyster in a mug and jokingly spits into it as a tiny form of revenge. JD pours drain cleaner into a mug and jokingly suggests killing her instead. Veronica does not want to harm Heather, but mixes up the mugs anyway. Heather Chandler drinks the drain cleaner and dies. In order to cover up the murder, Veronica forges a suicide note. The whole town becomes smitten with this tragic, misunderstood, and false version of Heather Chandler, whose ghost/memory haunts Veronica for the rest of the play. After the services, Heather's Duke and McNamara call Veronica and claim an emergency, which is that Ram and Kurt want to sexually assault her. She narrowly escapes, but the boys spread rumors and give her a reputation for being promiscuous. JD helps Veronica plan a prank to get back at them, but he shoots and kills them in an act of love for her. They again make it look like a suicide, which sends the town spiraling around the romanticization of suicide. Heather McNamara attempts suicide. JD tries to convince Veronica to kill Heather Duke, and eventually Veronica breaks up with JD altogether. Then Martha attempts suicide by jumping off a bridge. Veronica fakes a suicide by hanging. JD has a student body sign a petition, which he reveals is actually a mass suicide note, and that he plans to blow up the entire school with a bomb. Veronica tries to stop JD by physically fighting him, and during the struggle he is shot. As he's dying, he sees the error of his ways, takes the detonator to the football field alone, dying. Veronica returns to school and invites Martha and Heather's McNamara and Duke to come over for a movie night so they can all have a happy ending. The end.
Yay. Credits.
That was like maybe the most boring way I could possibly explain what the show is.
I mean, maybe, but it's pretty, I mean, pretty thorough. I'll give you that one.
It's a lot of very dark content, and also it's very funny somehow.
Yeah. It's probably, honestly, this is probably one of the darkest comedies I've ever seen. But I mean, it's funny because to say that it's very dark, but it's done very well, and it is very funny. But like, I never once felt like I was offended, or like I was never clutching my pearls at any point. I never felt icky like I did watching Bat Boy. So it's like, I mean, I actually really enjoyed this show. And to me, having finally watched it all the way through makes sense to me why a lot of kids like it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's edgy and cool and the music's really good. And it's despite the fact it's so dark, it's very bright and colorful. And so it's like, oh, okay, this makes sense.
Yeah. Did you know this show really before this?
I knew it a little. I didn't know it really well. I knew it was based on the original movie with Winona Ryder in it and Christian Slater. Mm-hmm. I knew that I had heard some of the songs before. Before I watched the show fully, I had heard Beautiful, Candy Store, and Freeze Your Brain, and Big Fun mm-hmm. were the four songs I had heard from the show.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I also had heard of Kindergarten Boyfriend because one of our students sang it for thespians. So I remember that one. And I remember you telling me, like, it was like, oh yeah, this, she's going to sing this song. And I remember you telling me it was from Heathers, but I was like, okay. And I don't think I ever listened to it at that point. I also was familiar with Dead Girl Walking because you had mentioned it a few times, as far as like talking to students who were like, you guys, hey, we should do Heathers. And then your response would always be, you take Dead Girl Walking to the principal and see what he thinks and see if you can get that approved. And
yeah.
So I was like,
yeah, because I tell them, I said, you enjoy that meeting because I won't be there.
Yeah.
I'm not putting my name on this one.
Yeah. And now having watching the show, I'm like, that's going to be real hard. It's going to be a real tough sell.
So this show first made it to Off-Broadway in 2014, and I was in my last semester of college.
Mm-hmm.
When this was blowing up, and I remember I heard about it from my friends, and all of my friend group was like, you're gonna play Heather Chandler someday, Emily. And then I heard Candy Store and I was like, yeah, this seems really fun. I would do this. We also, I mean, having gone to a conservative school, well, I'll say in that semester I was in a class that produced a musical theater review, and they changed what review we were doing multiple times because they kept, I don't know if they had not applied for rights and didn't get rights, or what I think happened is they said, oh, we're going to do this. And then they were like working on applying for rights as they had announced it, which, you know, you're not supposed to do, but then they realized what some of the content in the review was, and that, the people with the money who would donate to the program would not be pleased. So like one of the choices, the one I was most excited about, was we were going to do the Candor and Ebb review and The World Goes Round. Mm-hmm. And there's the song Arthur in the Afternoon in that review. And I remember everyone in the program was like, well, I'm really excited that we're doing this review because there's so many good songs, but I don't want to do Arthur in the Afternoon. And I was like, I'll do it. That song's fun. Sounds amazing. And so I guess I had this reputation for being loose or whatever. And so they were like, you could be Heather Chandler. And I was excited about that. So anyway, I've been listening to this cast album for like 10 years. I don't usually listen all the way through it. Like by the time I get to Dead Girl Walking, I'm like, okay, we hit the best song. And then I stop. But there's a lot of good music in it. I will say when it transferred and we got that British cast album, as usual, I didn't really care for it. And I think some of that is just bias of like the version that I had is the one that I was familiar with and therefore the one I liked the most.
Yeah.
And like Carrie Hope Fletcher is an icon. I just didn't think this was a great role for her. Like it didn't show off what she's really capable of. And it, in fact, I think Dead Girl Walking in particular shows like some of her weaknesses as a vocalist, which are very few. Okay. And I just don't like the trebly mix of British cast albums. So, whatever. I didn't even watch the Pro Shoot until today.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So whatever. And then, I mentioned this a little bit, but I was in New York City in June this year for the Jimmy Awards, and I flew in on Sunday. The Jimmy Awards were on Monday. And so I knew I had this Monday night free or Sunday night free. And I wanted to go see a show, but not a lot of shows have a Sunday evening. And just about everything that did, I had already seen. Like I've seen Aladdin. I saw the tour of like Six, and I already had tickets to see the tour of Anne Juliet, I think was one of the choices. I had seen Little Shop of Horrors before. I hadn't seen this production, so that was one I was also considering. And I didn't want to spend $400 to see maybe Happy Ending. And then like cheap tickets appeared for this show, and I was like, okay, sure. Like I've never seen Heathers live. I'll go see this, not realizing that it was opening night. And holy shit, it was so much fun.
Holy shit. Holy shit. Holy shit.
Yeah. The people who scheduled this show to open at New World Stages during Pride Month absolutely knew what they were doing. I just, like, I walked in. I remember, in the back of my head, I think I knew it was opening night somewhere, but I had forgotten. And then I walked in and, like, went down the stairs, and suddenly there were cameras everywhere. And I was like, what is happening? Oh, it's opening night. Mm. Okay. And so I was sitting in the theater, and the guy I was sitting with had seen the show in 2014 when it first opened. And so, like, the whole crowd was people who really loved the show and have been waiting for it to come back to New York for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I've never had so much fun as an audience member seeing a show. And I've seen a lot of shows, and I've been to a lot of, like, rowdy shows. Like, I mean, I've seen, like, the Rocky Horror Show and some things where, like, mm-hmm. you expect it to be rowdy, and I just wasn't expecting it, but it was so much fun. And, like, the director, I've already forgotten his name, Andy Fickman, he came out and gave a curtain speech because, like, I had gone to, actually the next day, I think it was, I went to the Museum of Broadway, and I was talking with one of the employees there because he had gone to see one of the previews, and they, I guess, it had so many tech problems, and, like, the set was barely finished in time, and the light board reset itself or something, so they were, like, reprogramming cues in a hurry. And when he came out, he was like, we had our dress rehearsal earlier, and honestly, I'm not sure how this is gonna go. And everyone was just, like, so excited to see it. Honestly, the only thing that went wrong, and I'll say wrong in quotes, is that I don't think anyone in the cast or crew realized how loud and how long the audience was going to cheer.
Gotcha.
Because there were multiple times where people tried to start talking after a song was over, and people were like, the audience just would not stop screaming. It was the most fun I've ever had, I think, as an audience member. It was really, really cool.
Yeah, that sounds awesome. Like, it does sound like it would have been really cool to be there and experience, like, an off-Broadway show premiere opening night. Sounds really cool.
And for it to be a cult classic.
Yeah, that too.
It was really fun.
I have a feeling that when Little Shop reopened, it did not have this type of similar reception.
I wonder if it did or not. I think part of the fun of this show and, like, the fun of sitting in the audience was I was maybe on the older side of the audience. I wasn't the oldest person there, but I feel like a lot of the time when I go to the theater, I'm, like, the youngest person there. But there were a lot of people, like, my age and younger. I would say, like, lots of, like, 20s and, like, early 30s. So you just don't get that reaction from older crowds.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, like, a lot of people were dressed up.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all.
There were, you know, they, like, did all the themed drinks at the bar, and, like, it was just everything that you want in a show, like, in the experience of a show.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, all in the best way. Like, sometimes those things go wrong, and this was 100% everything went right. So if you have the opportunity to see it, you should. And if you've never seen Heathers live, and you don't know how you feel about it because you've only seen a bootleg or the pro shoot, like, the pro shoot, I think, does a pretty good job of capturing what it was like, but it's not quite the same. So no. I would give this show, like, a real chance in a live theater before making too harsh a judgment of it.
That's very fair. I mean, are you just saying that because of, like, content concerns or?
Yeah,
like,
I mean, like, on paper, and if all you know of the show is that the summary that I just gave, it sounds extremely mm-hmm. dark, and it's just like suicide, 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 and it's really, it doesn't feel like that when you're sitting in the theater.
Right, that's fair. Yeah, I mean, and then, you know, it is just different. Just, you know, just commenting on just being in a theater when a performance is happening live in front of you, the energy is just different. Yeah. And I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like the energy for this show would have been very, like, palpable. You could feel it. This in the air.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just the excitement of it being opening night and in the return of this particular show that has such a huge, like, cult following. And fans, like, if you, like, you either love Heathers or you don't like Heathers. That's kind of, like, where I feel like a lot of people are.
But I can't think of anyone who doesn't like, do you know anyone who doesn't like Heathers?
The only person I talk to, like, so I talked to my wife about the show and was just kind of talking through some of the plot points. And she's like, I don't think I would like this. But I'm like, fair, but you also haven't seen it. I wouldn't even say that necessarily, like, some of these more, like, I wouldn't say controversial, but, like, the edgier elements that are a lot of the things are, like, that are like that in the show, a lot of the darker elements of the show are handled in a way that it doesn't feel like it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like, it's presented in such a way that it doesn't make you feel like, doesn't make you feel down or anything like that. Like, it's like, oh, well, it's honestly more like, oh, another one. It feels a lot more just kind of like throw your hands up in the air and be like, oh, come on. Like, this just keeps happening over and over again.
The satire is very good. It's well done.
For sure. As far as, I was trying to think of a way, like, what's the best way to describe this show? If you are not really familiar with Heathers other than, like, what the description that you gave was. I was like, well, what, comparing this to, like, other musicals that I've seen that are similar, the ones that we've even talked about before, Heathers, to me, feels like Mean Girls mashed up with Grease, mashed up with, like, American Psycho. That's kind of what this show feels like.
Yeah, or like Little Shop of Horrors.
Or like, maybe. Yeah. Well, I mean, just like, the only reason I say American Psycho is because it's like, it's not necessarily a bloody show, but it's violent. It's a violent show.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got the, like, I almost feel like Regina George and Heather Chamberlain are, they're not the same character, but they feel very related. And like, kind of like how they operate as far as like, I mean, Heather Chamberlain's much meaner, I would say. Like, Regina George is more, I feel is more like conniving. Heather Chamberlain's just, I mean, a mythic bitch is what she's called in the show. So, because like, I the reason I say Grease is because Grease is like unabashedly horny. It just is that type of show. And I feel like Heather's is definitely hornier than Mean Girls. Mean Girls has its moments, but I feel like Heather's is a hornier show.
That's really interesting because I don't think of it that way.
Okay.
But I don't think you're wrong. Maybe.
You don't think I'm wrong, maybe?
Honestly, sometimes I think adults just write that teenagers are horny to be like, remember, they're teenagers.
I mean, that's probably true.
Well, what do teenagers like? Being mean to each other and sex.
Yeah. I mean, pretty much. Yeah, that's fair.
They like Slurpees and doing it.
Slurpees and doing it is the name of my next album. Like that.
Ew. It does sound like it's just an album of sound effects. It's just like the straw sound that's in Freeze Your Brain.
Yeah. I don't have a straw, otherwise I would do it. But yeah.
Yeah.
That sound effect, yeah, for sure. That makes sense. So I don't know, what other thoughts do you have right now? You told me you had what, 4 pages of notes?
Yeah.
I have like half a page because, like, honestly, really? I watched the pro shoot and I was like, this is really good. I don't have a lot to say about it, but I really enjoyed it.
Oh, okay. So I just have some like broad categories in my notes section, but okay. So Sondheim is my favorite composer, but Lawrence O'Keefe might be my second favorite.
Oh, yeah?
I'm fully convinced he's just the perfect rock musical theater composer.
That's fair.
I can't... I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head that he's written that I don't like. Because, like, he wrote Bat Boy and Legally Blonde and this are the big ones. I just... Like, he fits so well. I don't want to say he necessarily fits so well in, like, this off-Broadway horror genre, because Legally Blonde is definitely not that.
No, you're right.
But he does such a good job of writing musical theater. Like, it really feels musical theater, but it also feels like pop rock. And he does the genre blending really well. Like, Bat Boy has some, like, southern and, like, folk country influence, too. Like, he does all the things that I like in the way that I like it.
Yeah,
musically,
for sure.
So I enjoy listening to him. Like, I really probably should just have a playlist that's like Lawrence O'Keefe greatest hits as like a I had a bad day, what will make me feel better, because honestly, like if I'm driving home after I've had a long day, those are his shows are the ones that I go to be like, this will pump me back up again, even though they're dark and terrible.
Well, speaking of dark and terrible, apparently Lawrence O'Keefe, just to talk about him for a little bit, is also writing the music for a Disney film that's coming
out. Oh, wait, I didn't know that. Wait, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Apparently, there's a Disney film coming out called Penelope that's based on The Princess and the Pea.
Oh.
And it says Lawrence O'Keefe and Ingrid Michaelson are paired together to write music for the show.
I didn't know this. When does this come out? I'm finally interested in something Disney's doing.
It does not say. Oh. Let me see what I can find real quick.
I bet they signed a contract on like March 1st, 2020. It'll be in limbo forever. No, what I was going to say is that Lawrence O'Keefe and Kevin Murphy are working on a new project called Dark Lord the Teenage Years.
Oh, yes.
Which was a children's book. It's also getting a film adaptation. And I'm very excited to see what this is when it happens. And Andy Fickman is directing it again. So, like,
yeah.
Why wouldn't you take this perfect storm that's Heather's and try to replicate it?
Yeah, that's fair. So the only information I could find about it right now, the film is a musical adaptation of The Princess and the Pea, quote, with a twist. And that's all it says. It doesn't say when it's coming out. It just says that that's what it is.
Okay.
So trying to see if there's like an update on like when this was posted. I'm not seeing it. I try to Google Penelope Disney film and the only thing I get is Vanellope von Schweetz.
That's something else.
Yeah, I'm like, no. Apparently, it was announced in 2023.
Oh, okay.
So, I think it's probably still happening, but we'll see.
Yeah, we can hope.
Yeah. Yeah, I found this article here from 2022 saying that Robert Sudeth is writing the script. Music is written by, it says, Ingrid Michaelson and Broadway superstar Larry O'Keefe.
Yeah. Larry's our man.
Yep.
The other thing that I want to say about like Lawrence O'Keefe as a writer is that he's writing, or I guess has written, really interesting female roles, like young women, which didn't really exist when we were in school.
Right, yeah.
Like Veronica Sawyer is the kind of teenage girl role that I really wanted to exist when I was in high school, but it just didn't.
Yeah.
We had... like all the teenage roles, like there's just not a lot of young women written in musical theater at all.
Right.
I mean, I remember when Next to Normal came out and Natalie was written, it was like, yes, like a belter role for like a young woman. Because they're just like, who are you going to be? Louise in Gypsy? What's her face in Bye Bye Birdie?
Yeah.
Like, it's all damsels in distress and...
Yeah. Well, I mean, it didn't help either that, like, when we were coming up, like, growing up, it was kind of the dark ages of Broadway. It wasn't until, like, what, Wicked that, like, started kind of building back up?
Right. Well, and it's not like Wicked's available.
No. Right.
So, there just weren't enough parts like this that were meaty, interesting young women. I mean, like, Beautiful, Fight for Me, Dead Girl Walking, 17, all bangers.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what I was looking for, but like we just didn't have that. So I would play this role in a heartbeat, even though at 32 I am probably too old. But if anyone's looking for a 32-year-old Veronica Sawyer, please call me. I would do it for free. There are like the newer songs that were added in 2018, like I Say No and Never Shut Up Again. Those feel a little bit too far pop for me. Like lyrically, I don't think they're as good.
I agree.
But
I had some notes about that. So
I still think they're bangers.
Oh, yeah.
They're not quite as good as the rest of it. But that, I mean, he also wrote Elle Woods.
Right.
Also a great role that I would love to play someday.
Mm-hmm.
So vocally very demanding, but like those challenges just weren't there. Unless you wanted to be a full adult / old woman as a, you know, 17-year-old high school senior.
Right.
Like, yes, I'm playing Dolly Levi. Like, great, a classic role for a full adult woman.
Yeah.
You know, so definitely. I just appreciate that. This show kind of pulls a lot of young women characters in the ways that I wanted when I was younger. So congratulations, teens of 2025.
Yeah.
Enjoy that this is an option for you.
Right. And just, you know, you just saying that makes perfect sense to why this show is so popular with high school kids.
Yeah.
100%. You know, because like there's a lot of like there is not a, really a secret that theater is predominantly girls in a lot of theater departments. It's not, I don't think that's true everywhere, but it's like, I feel like it's very true kind of everywhere generally. I don't know a lot of theater programs that are balanced, but it's usually very girl heavy. Sometimes it's boy heavy, but like not very often. But like, because this show only has like a hand, like it's swapped where there's a lot more roles for girls than there are for boys.
Yeah.
And that, I think that's a really good one. If you were able to do a show like this, we just need more shows like this.
Yeah.
And then I think, you know, it would make everyone at the high school level way happier because they don't have to try to fight anybody for anything.
Yeah. Along with the music, I just want to throw like a quick thing that the book and the lyrics are also very good. They feel perfectly set in 1989.
Mm-hmm.
Like it doesn't feel dated, but it also doesn't feel too modern. It's like, it's the perfect balance. It has that like balance of profanity and sarcasm, but also there's a lot of heart in it. And it's just like,
right.
It's all the things that you want.
Yeah. 100%. So, I mean, I wrote this down too, but I think it's safe to say there have been a lot of musical adaptations of like 80s films, 90s films, things like that. Out of every single one of those, I think this one's my favorite. Because like you and I have talked before about Footloose, the musical. I have problems with Footloose. I think Legally Blonde is really fun. I watched Legally Blonde a lot because my sister was a really big fan of that movie. So I watched a lot of Legally Blonde, but this one I think is like, the music is just, like you said, every song's a banger. It's like, almost every single song I would say is an earworm. It's so like fun to watch. The story's really interesting and there's a lot of funny moments. It's just, it's a really, really, really well done adaptation of the source material.
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense to me why people like this show so much. It also makes sense to me why this is not an on-Broadway show. It's an off-Broadway show, and that's fine.
Yeah. I was struggling with, like, the off-Broadway horror musical genre.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why doesn't it regularly move to Broadway? Why doesn't it have a bigger audience? And I wonder if like, it's the old people who are going to see Broadway shows because they're the ones who can afford tickets.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it's that show. And they, not only are there suicides, but they murder people and pretend it's suicide.
Yeah.
Pearl Clutch. And so they just don't, like, they don't know what it is and they don't give it a shot. Or like, I don't know, maybe I'm trying to think who I would know who is like a boomer who would like this show. And that's very limited.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, I don't know if I know any.
Like, I don't think my parents would like this show.
My parents would 100% not like the show. My parents would leave after the opening number. Are you kidding me?
I mean, my dad did go to see Cats with me once. So I think my dad would sit all the way through it, but he would be like, I didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, my parents, like, enjoyed Something Rotten, but there was definitely moments my mom was like, I don't like this.
And Something Rotten, I think, is pretty tame compared to this.
Oh, yes, very much so. Very much so.
One of the things I was trying to figure out is like, why does the off-Broadway horror genre feel so familiar?
Okay.
You know, like we could compare this show to Reefer Madness, which we talked about, Bat Boy.
Sure.
Like those were our off-Broadway horror shows the last 2 years. But it doesn't feel like, I was trying to think of other horror musicals. It doesn't feel like Sweeney Todd.
No.
Very different. And here's what I came up with. It's the same three guys doing all the stuff that I like. Duh. No wonder it all feels familiar. Lawrence O'Keefe wrote Bat Boy, Legally Blonde, yeah. Heathers, this new Dark Lord of the Teenage Years. Kevin Murphy wrote Reefer Madness, Heathers, Dark Lord of the Teenage Years. Nell Benjamin wrote Sarah Plain and Tall with Lawrence O'Keefe, also Legally Blonde, also Mean Girls. Like, it's just the same three guys doing all the shows that I like.
Yeah. There you go. That's the secret sauce.
The one exception is Little Shop of Horrors, which I would argue maybe started this genre.
I honestly think I would agree with you. I mean, Alan Menken and putting
Howard
that out
Ashman
there. Yeah.
Making stuff happen for us.
Yeah.
thank goodness for them. So yeah, I really enjoy, this sits right in the same place as Bat Boy, and then like Reefer Madness I think is a little bit below this in my opinion, but like I just love this genre so much, and I can't really explain why, because on paper it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But I really enjoy it.
It feels like this should not work because of the subject matter, but it works really well. I don't know what the deal is.
Yeah, the satire and leaning into the camp, it is chef's kiss. It's beautiful.
Yeah, 100%.
The art is doing the art thing, and
yeah,
it's delicious.
Yeah, it's really fun. Like, yeah, yeah. Like I said, I don't know another musical adaptation that like nails it like this one does.
Yeah.
I mean, Legally Blonde is good. Mean Girls is good. But like Mean Girls also has moments like if you want to go back and listen to that episode, you should. But like Mean Girls falls flat a couple times. This is definitely like this like felt like it went hard and it stayed that way, you know, right off the get-go. It's really good. I really enjoyed it. I do feel like though I would not say that there is a song I don't like in the show, but there is one song where I was like, okay. And that was Lifeboat. Just because I felt like it just kind of pulled me out of it a little bit. Like I understand, but it was like the sad. That was like the one sad song that kind of pulled me out. Kindergarten Boyfriend made more sense to me as far as in the context of what's happening in the show. But for whatever reason, Lifeboat just didn't hit with me. And I don't know why.
Okay, I was trying to figure this out too. So, and this goes back to like experiencing the show live for me. Like there really is something special about seeing the show live in the theater. And pro shots are great. I'm glad we have those and that those are getting pushed more to the forefront, because mm-hmm. like I'm never going to be able to see that London production. And yeah, we've got this like off-Broadway replica now, which is great. But there's something about this British production which just feels off. And I've been trying to figure out what it is. Like, it feels like there's something wrong. It's like when you use imitation vanilla instead of vanilla extract.
Mm-hmm.
If you know what you're doing, you can tell that it's wrong. But, yeah. Like, maybe no one else would notice. And so is it like we're imitating this American art form? I don't think it was. There were some places where accent slipped, but I didn't think that was it either.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even really notice it very well, very much so.
There was something, like, I kind of hated everyone's interpretation of the characters except for Veronica.
Really?
I don't know, they all seemed, I can't explain it, except they all seemed too British to me. Like, it was just, there's something, like, maybe more mature about the actors, like, I don't know how to explain it, or, like, maybe they were trying too hard. And then I wonder, is this how the Brits feel about Dick Van Dyke and Mary Poppins? Like, we couldn't tell it was bad, but they all could. Like, am I that person? Just something seemed wrong in all the mannerisms, especially with Heather Chandler. It's like, this doesn't feel like Heather Chandler. This feels like something, it was a very different interpretation. I just didn't mm-hmm. think it worked as well.
I mean, I can't really make that comparison because I did not see the version that you saw. But I mean, I kind of agree with you in a way that it did feel different. But there was something about it's her specifically,
mm-hmm.
but Heather Chandler, that was like, something feels weird here. I'm not sure. But I wasn't sure really what it was.
I got it from the other Heathers too. Like Duke and McNamara were also a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if that like interpretation of Lifeboat didn't work for you because of her, because I find Lifeboat to be very impactful. I did not like that interpretation of it.
Yeah, I mean, I listened to it separately on the soundtrack as well, and for whatever reason.
Which one? Which cast album did you listen to?
It is the Barrett Wilbert Weed one.
Okay.
The original.
Correct.
World. Yeah, that one. The good one. that's the one I listened to. I listened to it all the way through. But yeah, whatever reason, just Lifeboat just doesn't hit for me. Kindergarten Boyfriend did.
Yeah.
But Lifeboat didn't. I'm not sure why.
I wish I could put my finger on it. Like Heather Duke's whole song, the whole time I was just looking at her face, and it was even in her facial expressions. I'm like, ah, this is a British woman. Like at no point did I think any of them were American. It just like I didn't buy it, and I don't know why.
Gotcha.
And I can't even say, like, well, the director, it was different, but because it's the same director.
Yeah, I don't know.
I saw this production, the same, like, staging and everything in New York, and I didn't feel that way. So there was something about it. So also, what I will say is, if you saw the pro shot and you're like, oh, I don't know, go see an American version. I do feel a little bit like the Brits imitate musical theater, which I would argue is a very American art form.
Yeah.
And it's like anytime a person imitates or like tries to present something that's not part of their culture necessarily.
Sure.
It's like, you know, when choirs like always try to expose, like the choir director always tries to expose their kids to a variety of genres of music.
Right.
If a choir, which is predominantly white kids, does an African spiritual, they can still do that. And I think it's important to learn the music and all that stuff. It's not going to be quite right.
Right. Fair.
And so that's different, sort of. But like, if you're if Americans were going to imitate like Kabuki theater or something.
Right.
I think it's important to learn about the genre and the history of it. Like, that's valuable knowledge to have. And I don't think it's necessarily bad to do it as an educational experience. But I feel like there's just such a risk of not getting it right.
Yeah.
It makes me want to, can I poof over into some musical theater school in the UK and just see what we're learning and how we're learning it, and where do the people who are teaching it study? Because British musical theater is different from American musical theater.
Yeah.
And they do some stuff really well.
Yeah, for sure.
Andrew Lloyd Webber's work is some of the longest running work in the world.
Right.
And that doesn't feel weird or off.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just like American teenage stories.
I mean, maybe. Just because, like, I feel like the experience of the American teenager and the British teenager are different. Very different.
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, having not been a British teenager, I can't really confirm or deny
British
that.
British teenagers, give me a call.
send us a tweet or whatever. Whatever social media we're on, Threads.
Are you still on X? I'm not on Twitter anymore.
I personally am not, but the podcast does have one.
Yeah, but have you checked it?
No.
Yeah, me neither. So
I haven't checked it in years.
Instagram, Threads.
Threads. We're on
the greatest show podcast at gmail.com.
Yep, all that.
Send us an email. If you grew up in the UK and you want to tell me about it, hit me up.
Yeah, for sure. Please do that. Okay, because we're on the subject of music, I definitely have a favorite song on the show. That's Candy Store. I've listened to that song on repeat. It's so good. Particularly, there's harmony that hits in like the second chorus. That's like peak. It's so good. Where like they just like. I can't even, like, I don't have the knowledge to be able to talk about how good the song is because I don't read music. So it's really hard for me to, like, really talk about, like, the musicality of it. But it's just, like, I know it's really, really good. That's the only thing I can say.
I mean, Candy Store is incorrect for what the best song in the show is, but you're entitled
it's
to your
It's my favorite
wrong opinion.
Song on the show.
It's Dead Girl Walking.
Because it's the hardest song on the show?
No, it's the best song. I don't know that it is it the hardest song. I mean, the Dead Girl Walking reprise is also difficult. I mean, I don't know. Dead Girl Walking is, you know why I love Dead Girl Walking so much?
Why? Why do you love it so much?
The part where they start making out on stage, where JD's like, that works for me. Then it's like that instrumental bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the Barry Sax line.
I noticed that.
It's because I was a Barry Sax player.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, if I don't get to be Veronica Sawyer, I want to play in the pit.
I do remember. I do remember thinking when I heard that song, I was like, "That's a sweet ass sax line."
When I am driving in the car, I turn this song up so loud, and then it gets to the instrumental part, and I turn it up a little louder.
This
is one of the shows where I'm like, man, I hope as I'm driving around town that like I'm not sitting at a red light next to one of my students.
Yeah.
And they will hear me full on squelting Dead Girl Walking. Or like sometimes I'm driving down my road to my house and there's a couple of houses and one of our neighbors has little kids and they like to play outside in the yard a lot. And as I'm driving, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, I better turn this down. They don't need to know how loudly I listen to musical theater.
Well, I think we all know, though.
It's pretty loud.
Yeah, it's pretty loud.
It's pretty loud. But, I mean, Dead Girl Walking. How can you not think Dead Girl Walking is the best song on the show? Especially.
I didn't say. Oh, no. I didn't say that. Did I say that Candy Store was the best song on the show? It's my favorite song on the show.
Oh, I just assumed that you would think your favorite is the best.
Well, no.
You and I have different standards.
That's fair and correct. But, I mean, I could say I would concede that Dead Girl Walking is probably the best song on the show, but my favorite is still Candy Store. I just really like it. It's
also,
I don't know,
very good. It's a fun
I do
song.
And I like the sax line in that one too. The dun 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 and whatever it is. I'm like, that's so good. When that hits, I'm like, all right, we're in it now.
Yeah.
We're in it now. There's some really pretty vocals in 17 as well. Mm-hmm. I really like that one too.
Barrett Wilbert Weed is my favorite Veronica Sawyer. I think I had this saved for later, but I can't imagine anyone else. And Lorna Courtney was very good, but mm-hmm. Barrett Wilbert Weed is our Veronica Sawyer collectively, the world. I've decided for us. She's the one that we're going to remember. Okay. So I need everyone on board.
She's that Ann Janis from Mean Girls.
Right. Again, everyone, it's the same group of people doing all the stuff that
right,
I like.
Yeah. Yeah.
When I first heard her voice, I remember telling my voice teacher, I was like, this is the voice that I want. And he went, no. He said, you have your voice and you're just going to have to get used to that. I was like, but I want to be Barrett Wilbert Weed so badly. Her voice is so beautiful.
Yeah.
And it's
for sure.
It's such a powerful voice, too. It's mm-hmm. it's great for rock musical theater.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I'll listen to her sing anything. Like,
she sings
up.
That high note at the end of Dead Girl Walking, and most people don't try.
Yeah.
Carrie Hope Fletcher never tried it. And if you, I don't know if you listened to her sing it at all. I've seen live recordings, slime tutorials of her doing Dead Girl Walking. And honestly, I think it shows a lot of flaws in her voice because she does not try for the high note, and she sounds bad on the note that she does hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it must just hit in a bad place in her voice because Carrie Hope Fletcher is an icon and a phenomenal musical theater performer. But I did not like this role for her at all.
Mm.
And Lorna Courtney did not try for the high note when I saw it off Broadway. In the pro shoot, she actually sings higher than the high note. They switch harmonies. I don't know if you caught that. Normally, she sings that very top note, that like last yeah is the real very top note, and then JD like riffs underneath of it. He held the high note and she riffed even higher and like came back down. So I was like, hello, thank you. My new queen goals. I've never tried to do that before. Now I want to. Did I sing Dead Girl Walking while I was cooking dinner? Sure did. So anyway, 17.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just a really pretty song.
It is a pretty song. The first year I was teaching and I did a musical theater unit, there was a girl in class who was like, can I do something from Heathers? And I said, yeah, what are you thinking? And she said, I want to do 17. I said, okay, that song's fine. I thought she was just going to do the Veronica part. And then she found a karaoke track that had someone singing the JD part. So she stood on stage by herself singing it. And it was really That's awkward, fun. But it was really pretty.
That's well, hey, whatever works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's musically, the show's excellent.
Yeah. It's honestly like I said, every song's a banger. Like, not a bad song on the show, though. I will compare this to another like off-Broadway horror musical, Carrie.
Okay.
Which is like a similar thing. Carrie's a very different vibe. Because it takes itself a lot more seriously, and like I'm talking about the remounting that was done in 2012, not the original production that was a horrible. But there's a song, like the opening numbers are really similar in my mind. I don't know if you know the song "In."
I don't know
Carrie
that well, but I have heard that song before. Yeah,
yeah, but like "In" and.
Beautiful
have very similar vibes, but they're not the same song by a long shot, but very similar. Like, I think Beautiful is more like kind of upbeat. Let me check here real quick. I just need to listen to him for a second. Okay, They're legitimately the same tempo.
I remember, I think a group did it at our state thespian festival last year.
Oh, they did. They did it last year. Yeah, you're right. Let me look up. I want to compare lyrics now. I'm going to look. Thanks, genius.com. Will I be alone on Saturday night? Remember that. That's from Anne. Yeah, they're very similar. Very similar, like, songs, but they're not the same song. As far as, like, the tempo is the same, but In feels a lot more, like, In is more angsty.
Mm.
Beautiful is more, like, kind of poppy. And because In is more talking about belong, like, fitting in. And Beautiful is not that.
Yeah, well, by the end of Beautiful, she's in.
That is true. But, you know, so like I said, similar songs. Okay, so if you listen to this, if you find the soundtrack, you listen to the soundtrack a lot on like Spotify or wherever you listen to music, there are songs that are in the pro shoot that are different because I was trying to follow along so that I would kind of remember what the names of the songs were. But then the ones that threw me, like they added a couple songs in for that production, that the one that's in the pro shoot or the 2018 version when it came back. They changed some songs, added some stuff that I just didn't realize. Like they completely took out the song Blue and replaced it with You're Welcome.
Right. And the reasoning behind that was that Blue just felt very, for lack of a better term, rapey.
Right.
And You're Welcome puts Veronica's perspective in and like acknowledges that Ram and Kurt are the bad guys. Where Blue was like more of a comedy number about sexual assault.
Yeah. And like, I guess that didn't sit well with a lot of people, which is very fair. And so they removed it and replaced it with You're Welcome. So like, I was like trying to find where, like I said, I had the soundtrack pulled up and I was watching the pro shoot trying to like match songs together. And I was like, I don't remember that song and I don't know that I don't see this song on the soundtrack, but yeah, that was added in later. I found out that it actually was written for the high school version of the show.
Yeah.
And then was plugged back in and then is just now permanently replaced Blue, which I think probably good call. And then like you mentioned this already, but then the song Never Shut Up Again was added in 2018 as well, which gave Heather Duke a solo that I don't think she had before.
Nope.
Yeah. Cause it was just Chandler and McNamara had solos and Duke did not.
The only thing she got was that like little bit in Candy Store.
Right. Where then Heather tells
Chandler, shut up, Heather.
Shut up, Heather. Yeah. Yeah. And so now she gets her own song, which is, you know, fair. I mean, as being literally one of the titular characters of the show makes more sense. But I agree with you in the sense that it feels very poppy and it doesn't necessarily, I don't know, it doesn't feel like it fits in with the rest of the show. But in like, it does, but it doesn't. Like it does, but it's slightly. It feels more pop and less like with the rest of the how the other songs in the show feel more rock leaning.
To me, you can tell that it was written by the same team, but later.
Sure, that's
fair. What it feels like. Is that you know they've kind of moved into this new era of their writing style, like people evolve. And then they went back and added something. And so they're just not in that same place where they were when they wrote the original pieces.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that actually also replaced a reprise of Blue.
Mm-hmm.
Because so then there's that. And then they added in, they just straight up added I Say No to that show at the same time. They added all these songs in at the same time. And I think that song is also fine. Like, it makes sense why it's there.
Yeah,
I feel like maybe that the writing team just felt that there needed to be something more there in that particular scene. I don't know. Like I said, I haven't seen the original production. Have you? You watched part of the 2014 version, right?
I've seen that pro shoot. It's not a pro shoot. I've seen that slime tutorial
of that one, right? And but like, how is that scene different other than the song not being there?
I don't remember.
You don't remember? Okay. I just, you know, out of curiosity, just figured I'd ask.
The new version is the one that's kind of in my head now. But I just imagine Barrett Wilbur Reed singing all the songs.
That's fair enough.
Which is funny because, like, it's always her as Veronica Sawyer in my head. But I I didn't think when I saw the new version that Mackenzie Kurtz was going to be someone that I liked, and she absolutely won me over. Because I saw interviews with her from, like, I think maybe it was the 2023 Jimmy Awards.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I watched them last year. And then in 23, there was a student from our district who went. And then, like, this year I was at the awards. Hair flip. So, but I just remember thinking that, like, wow, this girl's annoying in the interviews that she was watching. And I had seen clips of her as Glinda.
Okay.
And as Anna. And I was like, I don't know. Like, she's pretty annoying to me, whatever. I don't like her acting style or whatever. But holy shit. She was amazing in the show. It was perfect. She just, like, and also, I don't, this is maybe weird. She's the, when I look at her face and, like, see her personality, I imagine her as being really tall. And she's not that tall in real life.
Uh-huh.
Do you do that with people where you're like, you should be a short person or you should be a tall person, just like based on like how you carry yourself and your demeanor? Yeah. Like, she should absolutely be a tall person. Because that was the thing. I was like, how could she be Glinda? She's so tall. And I just, in my head, Glinda's short.
Sure.
And not just because Kristen Chenoweth is short, but like Mackenzie Kurtz is not that tall.
Right. Okay.
But anyway, she was very good as Heather Chandler.
I mean, like, I just to kind of go off what you were saying, though, like, it would make sense that, like, for example, in Wicked, that Elphaba is taller than Glinda. That makes sense. It would also make sense to, for me, that Heather Chandler is taller than Veronica. So.
Right. And I think some of that comes from the original production in my mind also, because, well, and now I don't have her name in front of me and I'm going to forget it. Hold on. Jessica Keenan-Wynn.
Mm-hmm.
Presents, I really like her interpretation of Heather Chandler, because she presents Heather as like very mature for her age and just like very controlling and powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And for her to be tall also, I just think works for that character. But Mackenzie Kurtz had all of those things, just wasn't tall.
Fair. Yeah, okay.
And sang the hell out of it. I really liked it. I didn't think I was going to. I thought, like, okay, this is going to be, like, the one annoying thing. Because I also, when I saw, maybe I just don't like Glinda. Maybe I'm having this realization right now. When I saw maybe. Wicked on Broadway, Lindsay Mendez, my heart and soul, was playing Elphaba. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember who was playing Glinda, but I found her to be so annoying. But maybe I just don't like Glinda.
Maybe.
I don't like that every time we do this, I learn something about myself. And it's always totally unrelated to whatever we're talking about.
I mean, I don't know if it's bad, but I feel like I learn nothing every time we do this, so I don't know if that's bad or not.
Yeah. Also, while we're talking about cast, Carrie Butler. I didn't know she was in this. I opened the playbill and saw her face and went, "No way." And then I took a picture of it and sent it to my friends, because one of my friends from college, hi, Nina, she's obsessed with Carrie Butler, wants to do everything she's ever done. And literally, how is this woman still passing as a teenager? She's got to be 50 or very close, surely. And
she's 54.
There were multiple times where she was in the ensemble and the ensemble is meant to be all teenagers. And I didn't notice right away that she was in the ensemble.
Uh-huh. Because she plays Pauline at one point. So, yeah.
She, yeah, just play. No, Pauline is Miss Fleming.
Oh, sorry.
But she.
She's in the ensemble at
she's
one
just
point.
In the ensemble at one point, like singing with the group. It might be. There's a couple places where the more people sing to support what's sing. Like, I'm pretty sure all the girls in the whole ensemble sing Candy Store, sing the end of Candy Store at least, and kind of supplement the vocals, and it makes it sound really good.
Yeah.
So there were moments where she was on stage in the ensemble, and I was like, wait a second. You should not blend in with these children. But she does, and good for her. She is so funny. And speaking of Carrie Butler, anyone, please go see Bat Boy for me. And tell me how good it is, because she's stepping out of Heather's to play Meredith in Bat Boy. And if I had the time or energy to go to New York, I would be there just for the weekend to see that show, because talk about a dream.
She's moving from playing Shelley to playing Meredith.
Meredith.
That's fun.
I'm sure it's going to be amazing.
Do you know who's all going to be in that production?
I can't remember. It's not Ethan Slater, who's my dream Edgar. So. Or Ben Platt.
Or Ben Platt. Well, nobody wants that.
But like, a little. Don't you want Ben Platt to have to hang upside down for a while in a cage?
I mean, that would be pretty fun.
And Sophia Ann Caruso to play Shelley?
Hold on one second.
Are you looking up the cast?
Yes. The New York City Center. Their logo's cool. Their new logo for the show's cool. Okay. Carrie Butler's playing Meredith.
It's just for like 2 weeks. And
yeah.
Of course, those 2 weeks, that's like tech week for our fall play. And then after that, I go into tech for the next play.
Christopher Sieber's playing Dr. Parker.
I know.
And Taylor Trench is Batboy.
Can we just skip our... Let's cancel our play so we can go see this.
To go see the show? Honestly, I would do that.
I
would go do that.
I'd be like, sorry, kids. I gotta go see Batboy in New York.
Gabby Karuba is playing Shelley. This is her City Center debut. She played Zoe in Dear Evan Hansen at one point.
Okay.
She's a young actor.
Oh, and the guy from Dead Outlaw is playing Rick Taylor, and he's way too old, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much.
Yeah, it's Andrew Durand, yeah.
Oh, and Alex Newell is in this, I forgot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Alex Newell is Pan.
This Pan, yeah. That's so fun. That's really funny, actually. Oh, and Tom McGowan's in this playing Sheriff Reynolds.
I love everything about this cast, and I want to go.
Yeah, you know Tom McGowan,
everything.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh. I was like, oh, it's C-Post.
She Loves Me is my favorite musical.
Yeah.
Everything about this cast is incredible.
Yeah, it looks really fun. And you know how I feel about Batboy, but I would go see this.
It's so good.
Anyway. All right.
Let's go.
Back off the tangents.
Back to Heather's.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought we would be talking about the show for hours, but I feel like we're getting towards the end here.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way as well, despite the fact that we both seem to really like the show.
I really enjoy the show.
But yeah, me too. I liked it a lot more than I thought I would, which is surprising to me. But because I remember a discussion you and I had a little bit before was like, I'm not sure. You didn't know if I was going to like this show because I know how much you like Batboy. And I didn't really care for Batboy. But it's just, this is a very different type of show. I really, really liked it. Speaking of, we were talking about casting for a different show, but I had found when I was doing research looking for a dream cast for this show, I actually saw that at one point Renee Rapp was rumored to be playing Heather Chandler in a production in like 2021 on Disney Plus of all places, but it apparently like never happened. I don't know if it just fell through or like what, but I thought that was interesting. Is that I was like, one, that Disney Plus is going to produce Heather's, but also that Renee Rapp was rumored to be cast in that part. Anyway.
Okay. So the last big thing I want to talk about before we get to like Dreamcast and stuff is. Okay. Like, does this show work in educational theater?
Okay, let's talk about that.
So, yeah. So there is a teen edition from Concord Theatricals, which cleans up the show a little bit. And I'll actually read right from Concord's website the changes made to the teen edition. It's got four items.
Okay.
It says, one, removal of curse words, as well as onstage smoking, drinking, and R-rated sexual scenes. Note, there are still PG-13 sexual scenes.
Okay.
Two, replace Blue with You're Welcome, a new song created by the authors that adds Veronica's perspective. Three, changes to lyrics and stage directions of Big Fun to remove drinking and recreational drug use. Four, changes to lyrics and stage directions of Dead Girl Walking to remove R-rated sexual scenes. Please purchase a digital rental perusal to determine if Heather's the Musical Teen Edition is a good fit for your students.
Yeah, fair.
So, I do think, like, again, on paper, this show shouldn't work, but the humor and all the little things about it are amplified with a crowd of people. Like, do you remember 13 Reasons Why?
Mm-hmm.
The TV show? Yeah. And, like, it blew up and it was really scary because everyone watched it alone on their couch.
Yeah.
And suicide was a big topic in that show. And if you sit alone and watch it, then it feels scary. It feels way less scary to satirize suicide when you're with 500 people.
Hmm. That, I mean, yeah, makes sense.
Jokes don't land when you're alone necessarily, but when you're with a crowd of people and also there's a rock band and colored flashing lights, then it's less scary to talk about the thing. So could we do this at our school? I don't think so.
I don't think so at all, no.
First of all, I think most communities would probably have some backlash against the show. I think even if you're in a very liberal area or like a very progressive community, probably there would still be enough people who would be nervous about this show or like wouldn't like it that it might not be a good fit. And then additionally, vocally, it might be too demanding to ask kids to do. And I push this more than maybe the average person because when I was 19, I think I hurt my voice by pushing too hard and it took me a long time to recover from that. And I really don't want to do that to somebody else. So I try really hard to emphasize that in the kids that like you are not invincible vocally and you should not be singing 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
And then also like number three, I don't know that I would want to do a teen version of this.
Yeah.
Because doesn't it diminish the satire if you soften it? Like part of the impact of this show is that it is rough and punchy where it needs to be. And so if you take all that away, then what's the point?
Fair. That's very fair. Yeah. Because like we talked about before, the reason why this show works is because it's edgy. And it's like, that's a part of it. And if you take that away, I do think it diminishes some of the value that the show has as a whole.
Yeah. Like if you take the satire out, then what's the commentary?
Right.
So that being said, I do believe that teenagers want to explore hard topics, and that's why they like this show, is that it's edgy and it talks about stuff that they don't get to talk about around the dinner table with their families or, you know, it's just, yeah, it's interesting stuff to them. And I want my students to be excited about material and I want them to engage with it deeply. And I want to pick things that stretch them as performers. And honestly, I would rather them do the hard, scary stuff, like the controversial stuff, with my guidance and supervision than do it by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Like every year I've got some kids who are like, oh, we're going to do some stage combat. Oh, we're going to do a kissing scene. Like, no, you're not.
No,
don't do that. And that's like bare bones. If we're going to talk about something that's really controversial or dark or heavy or whatever, like, let me be the person controlling the conversation and how it's presented, because kids are stupid and they make bad choices.
Right.
So I know there was a production near where I grew up. It was a high school production of Rent.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people who were surprised that kids would be allowed to do that.
Yeah.
And I would say that, like, I certainly got away with more stuff in high school as a, like, a teenage actor than I would be able to get away with now as a full adult, just where we live now. But the kids know Rent. They're going to go watch Rent on their own anyway. So I would rather, again, like, have some say in how this conversation is going and how things are presented on something that's, like, you know, not a Disney show.
Sure.
So I don't know that I would ever do it at school. I might consider doing it outside of school and opening it up to, I don't know what age group I would do. But kids want these experiences, and I know that I can trust myself to give them an experience that would be developmentally appropriate and like safe for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't trust everybody to do that, but I know I could do it.
Right. So. Yeah.
Also, unrelated to all that stuff, it does have like 6 female roles with big solo moments.
Yes, you're right.
It does, you know, it's like Veronica, the three Heathers, Martha, Miss Fleming has some stuff. And then like for the boys, it's really JD. Kurt and Ram do sing and Kurt and Ram's dads sing.
Yeah.
But those are definitely more supporting roles than the rest of them, in my opinion. So
for sure, just for the 100%
numbers alone might fit who you got.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair. That's very fair.
And there's no incest like Bat Boy, so that might be
true.
Is suicide an easier sell than incest?
I honestly feel like it is.
When we did Bat Boy, that was 2014 at summer camp, and Heathers wasn't available yet. So I'm sure that camp has done Heathers by now. Maybe more than once.
Yeah, I Yeah, I'm sure they have. Yeah. Probably. Maybe it's someday when they make Heather's Junior, we'll consider that.
It'll be Heather's Youth Edition because it's Concord.
Youth Edition, TYA. I honestly, and you know, like now there's been this like upcropping of like senior musicals, like High School Musical Senior, where they're a bunch of like old people. You should do Heather's Senior. That'd be funny.
But like, can you imagine Dead Girl Walking, but like down the octave because an old lady can't sing the notes that high anymore? And then also she's got like her walker. She like climbs through JD's window and then just like walkers over with a little tennis ball.
That's
the
funniest
bottom.
Thing I've ever heard in my life. So yes, I want to see this. Thank you.
In an old lady voice.
I want to hear some pretentious baritone sing Freeze Your Brain. Freeze your brain.
You need more vibrato, I think. Like Hugh Jackman. It's JD.
Freeze your brain.
Bigger. Brain. Like a bunch of like church choir ladies.
Yeah.
Singing Candy Star.
Yeah.
I can't do it now because I'm laughing too hard. It's candy store, but it's a bunch of old ladies, and every time they say the word candy store, they reach into their purse and pull out some hard candies and like pinch your cheek.
there's just so many little caramels laying around, or yeah. Butterscotch candies is all over the
just
stage.
Throw them.
Those like those weird strawberry candies.
Yes. Heather Chandler has all strawberries because they match her costume.
Coming to my candy store. And they throw a candy at the audience. That's what I want. Oh, yes. Heather Chandler has the strawberries. And then McNamara has all the
butterscotch. Yeah.
And then Duke has spearmint mints.
Yep.
Like the little white with green stripes. Yep. So perfect.
This show's coming together in my head.
Yeah.
Andy Figman, call me if you want to collaborate.
Heather Senior, here we come.
Heather's Senior. I can't not hear Dead Girl Walking in an old lady voice now.
Just bring Barrett Wilbert Weed back. It's fine.
A little, but like a little old lady voice that's like, I've decided I must ride you till I break you. Just that part.
What's JD's line after that? So, well, that works for me.
That works for me.
And then they just like paw at each other. They take the entire musical break to take off their shirts.
Instead of losing the tidy whities, he should take out his dentures. Yeah. Put his teeth in a glass of water. And
that's so funny. Yes.
Just yeah, climbing to the rail. Had to see you. Hope I didn't wake you. See, I've decided I must ride you till I break you.
Oh, man. I'm on board for this. This sounds so funny.
I'm going to rewrite some of the lyrics, too. Instead of shut your mouth and lose them tidy whities, it's take out your teeth and lose some tidy whities. Yes, I've got this. That works for me. Not that you can see the visual gag of us pretending to take out our teeth for the last 5 minutes. So dumb. Who let us have a podcast?
I don't know. Nobody. Nobody listened to this. Are you kidding me? It's just still fun to talk about.
It's just... I hope no one important listens to this. Oh, boy.
Oh, man. Okay.
Okay. Well, do you have a Dreamcast?
I have a little bit of a Dreamcast. And like, I feel like we should cut the part where I was talking about Renee Rapp and move it to this. And then I'll talk about
I already did that mentally.
Rest. Okay, great. So it's funny that happened because I remember sitting here. I was sitting and I was watching the pro shoot and I was like, just wondered to myself, like, I feel like that someone would cast Renee Rapp as Heather Chandler. And then apparently that was a rumor that was going around. So I thought that was kind of funny. And so I had written her name down actually to play Heather Chandler.
But also did that.
He also did that because she just has that vibe. But I'll say this. I was going to try to cast the Heathers, Veronica, and JD is all I was going to do. And I could not think of other actors to play the other Heathers. I felt like, honestly, I had two choices for Heather Chandler, and both of them were Regina George. So, like, it kind of didn't matter.
Is it Taylor Lautermann?
It's Taylor Lautermann.
I didn't even think of her. I did write Renee Rapp down. But yes, Taylor Lautermann would be a great Heather Chandler.
Heather Chandler.
I love that.
So I wrote Taylor Lautermann and Renee Rapp, but I'm like, either one of them could be literally any of the other Heathers if they wanted to. As far as like Veronica, I don't think I would ever put anyone there other than Barrett Wilbert Weed, but I did put Aisha Jackson there. She is actually, you've seen her before. She played Snow White.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And Once Upon a One More Time, she was Snow White. And so I think I'd like to give her a shot and see what she does. I think it'd be really fun. And then for JD, I put Justin Cooley from Kimberly Akimbo.
Oh, I didn't think of him. That's a good one, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like, you know, I think it's a very different part than what he played in Kimberly Akimbo. But I'm like, I'd like to see him give it a shot. Too, just to see what he does.
I had Renee Rapp down as Heather Chandler. For Veronica, I also put Barrett Wilbert Weed because she is my dream Veronica. I had a couple other options. I think, I don't know if she could sing it, but I think Sadie Sink could act it.
Yeah, I agree. Sadie Sink was someone who was on my mind as well. I just don't know if she's a singer.
She is. She was in Annie.
Oh, okay, then, yeah.
I just don't know. I don't know how much, like, what her voice is like now compared to what it was when she was younger.
She was on Broadway recently, but she was in a play, so, yeah.
So I don't know. The other person I thought of was Julia Lester.
Okay.
Who I think, honestly, could probably fit a lot of the roles in the show, but has that kind of energy. And then my curveball was maybe Renee Rapp is a better Veronica Sawyer.
I mean,
I think she could play. I think she would be a very powerful Veronica. I've never seen her play vulnerable.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that's the instinct is to put her as a Heather Chandler. But, I mean, girl won the Jimmy Awards, so...
Yeah.
She's got range. I just like, could we put her in the other role? Because she could sing.
Yeah.
Veronica
sure.
Sawyer for sure.
See, now I'm thinking Renee Rapp is Veronica Sawyer, Taylor Lautermann is as Heather Chandler, Aisha Jackson as one of the other
Regina
Heathers.
Regina George.
Yeah. Anyone who's played Regina George is also just Heather
in this
now.
Show. And then my JD. So originally, like, the type I was looking for was like a Jordan Fisher.
He's
too old, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
So my two choices that I came down to were Milo Manheim, which I'm not proud of.
Go ahead. Continue it. I want to say something here, but I'll continue.
Just like the arc from Joseph to JD, I think would be really fun.
Yeah.
And then the other person I thought of was Jack Wolf, who is playing Orpheus in Hadestown right now and was the son in Next to Normal.
Oh, okay.
In the pursuit that just came out with Casey Levy. He reads young.
Yeah, he does. Like, really young.
Yeah.
Milo Manheim. Oh, man. Honestly, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm so on board with Milo Manheim. I want to see this Disney man do something edgy and like just be a crazy person.
Look,
be a psychopath.
It happens to Disney women all the time.
Yeah,
but the
I
Disney
know.
Boys, for whatever reason, stay on the straight and narrow. And I think it's time for us to have a boy version of Miley Cyrus.
I agree. Let's do it. Let's put Milo Manheim in there. That's so fun. I'm so on board. Just like go from zombies to Joseph to JD and Heather's
right?
Like, yes.
It's
yes,
time.
I'm
it's
for time. It. I am for it.
Sorry for all of the wholesome Christian families who enjoyed Journey to Bethlehem.
I know,
like,
right?
Milo
no.
Manheim, let's go see him in this other musical. Whoops. The other thought that I had, another thought I'm not quite proud of.
Uh-huh.
The Nightmare cast kind of works for satire, right? Like, do you not sort of want to see Sophia Ann Caruso and Ben Platt in this? Maybe just a little bit.
I mean, yeah. Except I really want Ben Platt to play Veronica Sawyer. That's where I'm at.
I was thinking JD and Heather Chandler, but okay.
Yeah. No, I want Ben Platt to play Veronica Sawyer.
I don't, but okay.
Because, like, I mean, I want to cast a Ben Platt as Veronica Sawyer and then another man as JD and just leave it there. That's what I want.
Milo Manheim.
Just Milo Manheim again. Yeah, there we go. Yes to both. Yes to both of those things. Do you have anybody in Nightmare? Heather Chandler, you said Sophia Ann Caruso. Do you, any others?
No. Sophia Ann Caruso is Veronica and Ben Platt is JD. Okay.
And Ben Platt. Okay, then who? Then what about the Heathers?
Hugh Jackman is all three of them.
Just three Hugh Jackmans.
Three Hugh Jackmans. Honey, what you waiting for?
Come to my candy store. You know, it's so...
Just like a big overdramatic vibrato.
Oh man.
But like, can you imagine his voice doing the intro to that? Have we got a problem? You got a bone to pick? You've come so far. Why now are you pulling on my
dun? It's then like a jazzier dun dun
dun. No, don't ruin it. It's perfect the way it is. Ugh.
Hugh Jackman as the Heathers.
Or like Jennifer Coolidge as Heather Chandler.
Oh, I can't do a Jennifer Coolidge impression, but I really wish I could right now.
Makes me want a hot dog real bad.
Do we have a problem?
We have a problem. You got a bone to pick.
Why are you just pulling on my I'm trying to think. I can't get it. It's going to take me a minute. Just this tag of this episode is just us trying to do bad Jennifer Coolidge.
You've come so far. Why now are you pulling on my...
I will say, I want to rewatch this show again. Like, I really enjoyed it. I'm going to rewatch it.
It was good. Watch the 2014 bootleg.
Okay, I'll do that.
It's really interesting. We didn't even talk about this, like how the show evolved. Because like the 2014 production is way more scaled back, and I would say that the 2022 pro shot, not super elaborate. There are a couple of set pieces that come in and off, and there are some in 2014 as well, but instead of everything being on one plane, there's an elevated platform at the back that's like a semicircle, and they use that as the swimming pool. They use that as JD's room. It's like a couple of like minimalist things that come on, but it looks very different. Like the layout of the stage is different.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, it's...
Yeah,
it's,
well, the layout of the stage in the pro shoot is not a true thrust, but pretty close.
Yeah.
And so that also, you know, makes things different as well, like how you stage things.
Right. Well, in New World Stages is not like that, but it's almost exactly the same show.
Gotcha.
Choreography and everything. Don't touch your eyeballs, Emily. It's fine.
Ugh. Let's go wash. Just go wash your eyes out.
It's fine. Everything's fine. I'll make it. I didn't get that close to touching my eye.
Oh, good. You got close, and then you were like, "Oh wait."
Do you want to rate Heathers?
Okay. I really enjoy the show. I do think this is my favorite musical adaptation of a film I've seen probably ever. It's really funny, but it's really dark at times. And I do not think that this is a perfect musical by any means, but I'm going to give it, I think I would give it an 8 out of 10. Like, Heathers is really, really good.
I also really like Heathers. And as we've said many times, and I'm sure we'll say many times again, Emily Chavon loves a spooky off-Broadway horror musical. It's like a little bit campy, and there's some weird shit in it, probably. Like incest or suicide. And also, I love Lawrence O'Keefe, so here we are. For me, this is like a 9.
Yeah.
It's up there. I don't... And it's a, like a 9, but like maybe this is a 90 out of 100, and Bat Boy's like a 95 out of 100.
Sure.
For me, because Bat Boy, I will listen all the way through and I will enjoy every bit of it. And this one, really, truthfully, usually I get to Dead Girl Walking and then I skip around a little bit. Like sometimes I'll play 17, but I don't usually listen all the way through this show.
Gotcha.
I just hit my most favorite highlights. But watching the show, I never feel bored and I never feel like skipping through if I'm watching like a production or a bootleg or a pro shoot or whatever it might be.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I really enjoy it. I think it's got a really important place in musical theater history as far as what it did for the genre and like what it continues to do for the genre.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always liked a cult following. I feel like the cult following stuff, it's almost always my brand. Like there's a bunch of cult cult classic movies that I like. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I like a good satire. I like a rock musical.
Yeah. There you go.
Here it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Well, that's curtains for us here at The Greatest Showman. Thank you so much for listening. If you like the show, please give us a rating and review wherever you are listening to this on your podcast listening device. If there's something you want us to talk about or a show you want to make, like you have your own opinions on Heather's or any shows that we talk about, you can send us an email at thegreatestshowpodcast@gmail.com, or you can send us like anything on our threads or our Instagram, any of that stuff at Greatest Show Pod.
Which Heather would you be? The red one, the yellow one, or the green one? I was really tempted to just call them by their names the whole time to be like, and then yellow Heather does this.
Yeah. Red Heather, yellow Heather. Red Heather, yellow Heather.
It's The Greatest Showman is produced by Emily Chavon and Brantley Wheeler. Our theme song is by the amazing Patrick Duffy. Links to all of his contact info in the episode description. You can find us all over social media at Greatest Show Pod. Slide into Brantley's DMs and tell him why he's wrong and has horrible taste in musicals. If you have a suggestion for a musical we should cover in the future, send us an email at thegreatestshowpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next one.
So, kids, I love it. If you're still listening for hints, this is not a hint, but we're not doing Heather's.
No, we're not doing Heather's. No.
We're not going to do Heather's.
No.
Or are we? I wish they could see our faces. Maybe I've been lying this whole time.
I know. I mean, I'm just happy that at the end of the show, everyone lives Shrekily ever after. And that's, you know, how it is.
Oh, boy. Oh, hey, did you price that green face paint for me?
Hey, isn't your address on 42nd Street?
It's too fun.
You know, what's really crazy too is that I went into downtown Rogers today and there was a lot of newsies just around. I don't know why. I figured, you know, Bikes, Blues, and Barbecue, there wouldn't be that many, but there just was a ton of them just everywhere. Yeah. And then there was a parade.
Okay, if we sit here much longer, I'm going to have a hunchback.
Okay. Oh, did you see that carousel at the county fair?
You know, I was just in the black box the other day, and Mary kept popping in and popping out.
So Mary popped in?
Yeah, just for a second, and then she popped
out. Okay. Yeah.
She said she had to fly away with her umbrella.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This bit should be getting old, but I am hopelessly devoted to it.
Yeah. I mean, you could do it once. Well, especially if you've got, you know, fiddlers on the roof.
Don't do it when I'm taking a sip of water, man. God, I want to take Riley for a walk somewhere, but I don't feel like driving all the way to Oklahoma.
Yeah. I mean, we're sitting here, it's getting kind of late, and I feel like this is just more like a Jekyll and Hyde situation. What is it? Is it 1776 military time? Is that what it is?
You are too good at this. Do you have a list of musicals pulled up in front of you right now?
I didn't before, but I do now. You know, I'm much more of a music man, so I don't always like watch a lot of, I don't really watch a lot of shows, you know, but you know, I mean, so to get to your house, I have to go into the woods. Is that right? And your parents are from Chicago, right? Is that? Man, I feel like I've got you all shook up and I'm really sorry. I mean, we're working 9 to 5 so often. It's just really hard to, you know, to get all these, you know, try to get all these plugged in, you know, there's just a lot of guys and a lot of dolls. I mean, it is pretty fun. And just like one of my favorite things to do is to sit here and talk about this and just like troll the kids and spam a lot.
My face is starting to hurt from laughing. But, you know, they always say make them laugh.
Yeah. You are correct, my fair lady. I'm really tempted to just start listing musicals. Just start listing them all. Do I look like an American idiot or no? I'm not going to do that.
Do you think they got it?
God, I hope they get it.
Yes.